want to discuss how to better enhance view opportunities and make the open spaces more successful. There's a missed opportunity for balconies, perhaps, especially facing market. So here, this is the southwest 12th elevation. So the framing, one thing I wanted to point out, the framing touches the parapet level, and there's kind of a grouping of the bays, a larger grouping there. On Southwest Market, the bays break through the stucco at the parapet level, and at the oil windows, they actually reach up above the parapet level. On the side elevations, there's stucco, and on the courtyard elevations is fiber cement panel with the infills. Okay.
All right. Thank you, Grace. Any questions?
Doesn't look like it. Thank you.
All right. How do I?
You okay? You got through it.
You did it.
All right.
This is so thorough. I don't have to do anything now, Grace.
All right, Kurt.
I turn it off.
Okay, thanks, Grace. I'm Kurt Schultz with Serra Architects, 338 Northwest 5th Avenue, Port 197209. Here tonight to present the student apartments, student housing at Southwest 12th and Market. I guess this is student housing night tonight. For Mortenson Development, who are here in the room, and they've come from Minneapolis and then also their Portland office. So I'm glad to have them here. So Mortenson's proposal is for a 10-story quarter block student housing project with about 114 student apartment units. These will be rented by the unit, not necessarily by the bed. So they're more traditional units in that sense. We're below the maximum height limit. We're not asking for any special FAR. The FAR that we have is what's allowed on the site. This is going to be a 10-story building with a penthouse. It is going to be done all out of steel construction using light gauge metal stud framing, kind of similar to the Janey or even the Jefferson and 12th project that you see under construction now using the IGBS steel system. And I really like doing quarter block projects. I think the thing that I like about a quarter block is it is such a nice scale. And when we're doing a quarter block project, we really try to create kind of unity across the elevations as opposed to a lot of different kinds of moves and materials. So we're striving for a very simple, elegant building that really expresses its height as a way to differentiate itself from some of the other blocks, some of the other buildings on this block, and also take advantage of its views to the south over that kind of park-like parcel at Portland State University. Grace did a good job explaining a lot of the site and the context, so I'm not going to talk about that too much. But again, the site is very prominent in the sense that it is the vehicular entry into town on Market Street, which is a one-way street in this direction. We are directly adjacent to the kind of PSU open space park. It's not necessarily going to remain a park forever. It is designated as something that they'll build there someday. We just don't know when. I think we all hope it won't be for a while, but it's not permanent open space, I don't believe. We also do have the streetcar line on 11th Street directly adjacent. There's a two-story office building on the site now that will be taken out as part of this project. And Grace also showed you some of the adjacent parcels. A lot of the adjacent buildings, both historic and new, are kind of mid-rises. There's the Clay Apartments in the Tiffany, which are historic buildings on the other side of the block, which are six-story brick buildings. And there was also some brick buildings just on the other side of 12th Avenue. The Grace showed the 12th Avenue Terrace and the Hamilton West Apartments. And then there's also some interesting high-rises that have sprung up around this area, as well as the Helen Gordon Schell Development Center, which is really a gorgeous building. I think the other thing that we're also kind of interested in is kind of looking at buildings that are taller than just that mid-rise. I mean, there's really some interesting apartments that were built in the 1950s, actually, around PSU that were all stucco buildings with corner windows that were very tall. They were taller than the norm. The Eon Plaza was always kind of an interesting building with the oriel windows. And so those were some of the, we were looking at kind of clean material expression with stucco and metal also as a way to differentiate this project from some of the adjacent buildings. So on the block here now, you have the six-story Clay and Tiffany apartments. You have the eight-story Cameron apartments that are currently under construction, and then a future apartment building that is also going to be approximately six stories. We're going to be 10 plus a penthouse, so there's going to be kind of a stepping down to either side. And I think it's actually interesting that every building on this block is going to be of a different height. I think that gives it some kind of visual interest, and so that it's not all going to be kind of a contiguous parapet height. Starting with the ground floor, this is student housing. This project is not proposed with any on-street or off-site parking. Being a quarter block and trying to go down into a garage is pretty difficult, to say the least. So this does not have any parking, but it does have significant, especially as it's geared towards students, significant bike parking on the site. Level one, we really wanted to orient the building south toward the kind of open space park. And so we actually have our main entry lobby centered on that park facing to the south across Market Street. And then we activate Market Street with both the leasing office. We have a kind of our fitness area that's open to the students, spilling out onto Market Street as well. On the corner, you know, we at one time were even looking at having our kind of common room for the student apartments on that corner, but finally we decided we preferred actually trying to do a live-work unit that could be converted to retail or might even be appropriate for retail by the time we even open the building to really activate that corner and anchor the corner. So we actually, from earlier talks with Grace, we actually moved the common room up to the roof as a penthouse associated with the roof terrace so we could reserve that corner for potentially a more active use. We have our central core with our elevators and our exit stair, and then we have a small courtyard in the back where all of our stormwater planters will be, and then we do have some residential units that face that the stormwater planters with little private terraces in the back. We're asking for a modification so we can only have one loading space instead of two. We're also juggling some of these spaces here now. We know we're going to need a generator and electric room, and those need to be on the street facades, but we're looking to see maybe we can stack one of the generator on top of the electrical room or bury it in the ground. I'd like to get, would like to expand that bike parking room or maybe even add another unit on this level, but that's just something that's all in progress. We're coming to you pretty early in our process here so we could get feedback from you as quickly as we could. Moving up through the buildings, the building is an L-shaped building that matches the property line, matches the party walls on the buildings to either side. We're probably going to seek an arrangement with both of the adjacent neighbors to be able to flash over that kind of gap so there isn't any gap that you're looking through. So it will be a tight, contiguous street elevation on both 12th and on Market Street. We do have significant number of canopies over the ground floor. We have a large glass canopy at the main entry facing the park, and then we'll probably have some steel metal deck canopies around the perimeter of the building to provide pedestrian protection and solar protection for the spaces down below. The building is chamfered on the ground floor in the corner, so we can actually have a corner entry for the kind of live-work, hopefully future retail space that's on the ground floor. And then that chamfer actually disappears and becomes kind of an Oriole bay to help mark the corner. We've broken the quarter block down a little bit with some vertical notches in the center. We're actually really trying to emphasize the verticality of this building in contrast to the more horizontal nature of the two buildings adjacent to it. So by actually creating those kind of slices into the building, and also by adding the Oriole windows, it really adds a sense of verticality and lift and kind of flight to the building that we would like to express. Finally, on the roof, so this would be actually the 11th story of the building is where we relocated our common room off the elevator. So this will be kind of the, call it the student party room, if you will, that faces south onto a outdoor roof terrace that will also face south and look out over this primary corner. The views up here will be pretty amazing of the city and PSU and the West Hills. So on the exterior elevations, we decided we would do a very, very limited palette for the exterior materials and kind of create some unity. Again, I think a quarter block should have unity between the two sides. I don't think there needs to be a lot of crazy moves. I think the building should express some unity, but also express some subtle differences that occur between the Market Street side and the 12th Avenue side. So what we've done is we've picked our predominant material as being stucco, kind of stucco frames with infill of a black metal panel. The windows will also be kind of a black coated vinyl window. So essentially all the metal will be of one color in a black, in a void that then expresses itself with very large windows on the corner, very large vertical orioles that actually lift and rush past the parapet at the top. We also have created kind of an expression of two floors per bay. And the reason we did this is it also gives us a little bit more verticality to the proportions of the building. I think I talked to you last when I was presenting the Goose Hollow apartments that were also stucco, and I said we only need to weep it every two floors, and one of you guys said, well, why don't you do an expression on the exterior that sort of allows that to be very clean? And so that was one of the reasons we did that, where we can weep the stucco every two floors in this vertical expression that also gives, again, more vertical lines, vertical emphasis to the building, to as opposed to the more horizontal nature of the buildings next door. The 12th Avenue elevation is similar, although there is some subtle differences. The main difference being the Oriole windows do not penetrate, go past the parapet like they do on the Market Street side, to give the Market elevation a little bit more lift and more verticality facing out to the park. We have a two-story expression for all of our ground floor windows with canopies on the corner and then additional canopies along the side. This is the live work future retail unit. Kind of our bike parking is in these large windows. These are all large storefront windows, and we may be even incorporating some more residential units here if we can. We'll have a glass roll-up door for our single loading bay. And then again, we've just kind of taken this elevation, broken it into three elements to express more of the vertical line as opposed to the horizontal line. So we're trying to not have too many horizontal lines in this building and kind of create a modern contemporary version of those sort of international style buildings that we admired around PSU. The balance of the buildings on the party walls, most of the party walls are covered up by the adjacent buildings. This is the 8-story Cameron next door. You see the 6-story Market apartments next door. This is the courtyard space that has the same expression as the exterior elevations. This is actually as you're coming into town on Market Street. With the corner that is chamfered at the base with a canopy and an entry at the base to the live work unit. We chamfer it again at the top so the building kind of starts to break away. But then the primary expression are almost these kind of twin towers facing out over the park, facing the south and the wonderful light and the views that we'll have. And you also see this kind of two-story expression that we've created for the frames to emphasize the vertical line. And then finally, we're back to the south elevation facing the park. This is 12th Avenue. That's a one-way street heading towards the north. And again, trying to create contrast and interest amongst all the buildings on the site so that they're not similar, but yet they're still creating an interesting hole that that will kind of fill in one of these underutilized blocks on the west end. So that's my short presentation, and I look forward to hearing your comments. Again, we're really early in the design, and this is the perfect time to hear what you think so we can make some adjustments before we come in for our design review hearing. So thanks.
Hey, who's got questions for Kurt?
On the 12th Avenue side, I'm going to go back to that elevation. So, is this a clear storefront glass?
Mm-hmm.
And what's the use behind there?
Bike room right now.
And this is a bike room?
Mm-hmm.
Clear glass?
Mm-hmm.
And this?
Bike room. That's starting to hit the live-work unit. So the bike room's in the center.
Here?
Mm-hmm.
And this is? I mean, you've got generator loading, electricity.
I think that left one's the electric room.
You could be right. Actually, yes, half of it right now is the electric room. What I'd really like to do is stack both the electric room and the generator on this spot so we can either make the bike room bigger or we can add an additional unit there. But, yes, that's what matches the plan.
Okay. Thank you.
Kurt, building to the, as I recall, you designed the building to the east and the north.
Our office did, yes.
Yeah. And then isn't there a courtyard, three interior kind of L courtyards?
Yes, there are.
So there is one.
So they match up to create one central court to a degree.
Yeah, right. Okay. I just wanted the graphic didn't show that, and I thought there was. Your adjacent building kind of shows.
So I think this was just showing the ground floor. So this one, the courtyard goes all the way to the ground, as does this one.
Oh, okay.
The courtyard is actually up on the second level on the next one, but they essentially all match up into a courtyard.
So in mass,
from
they.
Level two
yeah.
Up.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right.
But on that point, it seems like yours got a little smaller. Do you know how big that is, your courtyard now, Kurt?
You know, I should have had that dimension for you, so I'm going to have to take a guess here. That's 100. I would say it's probably about 30 by 40 is probably the size, whereas the ones adjacent is probably about 7 to 8 feet narrower than on the adjacent building on the courtyard.
You know the other corner?
The other corner, this actually matches up exactly to the other corner. This is the one spot where it does not match right now.
I think it's about 30 by 20 something, isn't it? If that's 15-foot sidewalk.
It's a 15-foot sidewalk. Yeah. The dimensions of the two sides are probably about 70 feet on one side and about 65 feet on the other. So this would be 30 and this is about 65, so that'd be 35.
Yeah, that's kind of what I thought. Yeah.
And you mentioned
it's not 40 though.
What the discussions about the potential for a commercial on the ground floor, starting to live work. Have you guys discussed with the development team just starting right out of the gates with a commercial space there?
Well, we've reached out to some retail leasing agents who definitely are sour on this location, but I also know been here enough with you guys and know what you're looking for, so we're trying to figure out a way. You know, how are we going to be able to let that become a retail space down the road? And we actually started off looking at that as a common room for the units, but then I began to worry that's not going to be an active enough use, and I thought you guys would be concerned about that. So we're trying something else. So you know, the retail leasing brokers are saying no, but you know, it, by the time this building opens in 2 years, who knows?
So, Kurt, your building to the north, as we worked with you on that, has the lobby on the corner.
That's correct.
So did you not want to put the lobby on the corner for what reasons?
You know, we could have put the lobby on the corner, but I thought in terms of the activity and, you know, potential live, work, or retail, that that would be a better active use on the corner. But if you guys think the corner entry works better, we could definitely explore that. I just like retail on corners, frankly.
Well, if it were retail, I would agree with you. But
I know I'm dreaming down the road here. But yeah, I hear what you're saying.
Yeah, I think that's what you did to the east, right? We had your building to the east does have a retail.
This building has also kind of the lobby is centered, right. And then there's a live work unit, two actually live work units here. This one actually had no live work units at all. It's all ground floor residential with a corner lobby.
I thought it was more clear.
I think these are better corners than this corner.
We talked about the potential with the extended curb and everything for retail. We changed the awning scale and all of that, but I don't think it was.
But I'm with you, Kurt. I think by the time you guys build this, I mean, since there is no retail in the neighborhood, I think it could actually support a retail. And I think on the corner, if you added the bike room to it and had a decent size retail, I think that would be good. I think you could lease that. Don't trust leasing agents, Kurt.
Right, you're the pioneer.
It's too small, Kurt, for them. But I think that the retail is better on the corner than on Market Street, because Market Street is a going into town.
You've got parking right there, though.
Freeway, so the traffic is really.
But you have on street. You have on street parking on this block.
Yeah, it switches. Right. There's no parking here, but then there's a left turn only. So then there is on street parking on this curb.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. There's parking.
So there is parking there, but there isn't on the adjacent block. But traffic is moving really fast as people are getting it to get into town. But I'm really glad we have the parking there.
Yeah, it does help.
Well, then I'd go with the retail either location.
Yeah.
I didn't
think. I mean, in terms of permanence, if it's the lobby, it's always going to be the lobby. So, and it's so small, I just wonder about it over time.
Fit better in the mid-block on Market, you know, as a permanent strategy.
Well, that's what I'm saying. It doesn't necessarily have to be permanent then, because it's not permanent on the corner. I mean, at some point, I mean, what happens is, we didn't rent it, so now we're going to convert it to an apartment or live work, and then you've lost the dynamic quality of the corner.
Mm-hmm. With all this construction, I think it will lease, though.
I mean, yeah, I would hope so.
This area can now support it. Where
that's what we said when the other one came in.
Yeah. And, I mean, what if it were on 12th? Didn't you have a diagram at some point where your common room was on the corner and you had the units to the north on 12th?
On this design here?
Yeah. There was in the city packet, there was a diagram.
Yeah. At our pre-application conference, this actually was a common room, and we had a few units up in here, and we rejiggered it to have the live-work / retail on the corner and the bike room here.
Well, if it were retail, it could spill out onto a quieter street, I guess somewhat quieter.
Mm-hmm.
Fewer people turn left than the two lanes that go straight.
It's ironic, too, because actually 12th Avenue has a 15-foot sidewalk, and I don't actually know why, but because it shouldn't, but it does. Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's cool.
So this whole block is now no parking, right?
Which?
Apartment buildings, no.
No, these two do not. This one does.
Yeah.
Well, that one had parking.
Yeah. And
that's why
it has mechanical parking.
That's why the courtyard starts at the second level.
Right, because it's in a podium. It's like the Janie. It's got a podium, mechanical parking, and the apartments start on the podium.
Could I agree with you in terms of massing? The quarter block is kind of interesting and sets up some nice relationships. But from a streetscape, you've got three loading zones. You've got, you know, everything's in triplicate that kills the street.
All the same problems that a bigger building has to deal with on less space.
Right.
And that's where, I mean, the things like the generator, I mean, have you started that conversation with utility, and who is your utility? Is it Pacific Power or is it PGE?
No, this is PGE.
I'm sorry. So, I mean, it's going to be a challenge because they're very tough on.
Yeah, I would agree.
What we did at one of these is we actually lifted the generator up on top of one of the service rooms. And that's really kind of whether I put it in a pit or put it in a, this to me feels like it's, if this is the mid-block line,
yeah.
I want to grab more
yeah.
space
yeah.
to do some
crap.
Some things that can help activate 12th, I guess.
I have to say, I would, for me, I would choose, if I was renting one of these, not to be down 8 stories on that courtyard side, but to be out on the street. Just switch it and put all your services mm-hmm. up in the courtyard, put the generator, electric, bike room, everything, and get the residential out back out to the street.
Can place. You do that, though? You can't.
Most of them, the generator maybe, electric room has to be on the
yeah, outside. The street
the,
facing.
The folks you just talked about, yeah, it's
yes,
got to be on the street facing. Facade.
Yeah. We've done like, really?
You know, don't you have to really get a truck or something back there?
No, the
generator itself.
I mean, we could talk to them about that and see if we could do some swapping here, and swap some more services to get some more units on the street.
Yeah, I thought that you had to be able to get heavy equipment. Close to
that's the transformer.
That's transformer.
Transformers.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You actually can bury an electrical room. It's just more expensive because you got all the conduit that's got to go back to. But it's not impossible now that
right.
I think about it.
And we also just put a generator on the roof too. So.
Yeah.
You can. Yeah. Then you got to pump all that diesel up there and have all the. But yes, you can do that.
What's your floor to floor on the first to second?
I think we're 14 on the ground floor.
Yeah, I agree with Ben. That's something to look at, is to try to salvage what little frontage you have for the project on the street. And while live work isn't exactly active, it's way more active than a generator room.
Yeah. Well,
and electrical room and
I mean, yeah. bike parking isn't very active.
Yeah. Yeah,
leasing office isn't very active. Fitness isn't very active. I mean. In broad
yeah.
senses,
uh-huh. yeah.
active is when you have somebody coming in off the street to buy something and walking out, and there's
mm-hmm.
business. And so...
the residents coming and going, yeah.
So
through a street-facing door. Through, you know, residents actually coming and going from a unit on the
yep.
street.
Right.
So...
so this is...
Would you prefer... I'm just talking out loud. What if you... You know, if this is live work, future retail, say we had a unit here and we moved a fitness area to the back,
mm-hmm.
would you feel better about that?
Yes.
In terms of activity, if we had an exterior entry?
I think
yeah.
so.
Way better, yeah.
Yeah,
okay.
Because that's on 12th is quite a stretch of dead space, especially if it's residential or live work, then the blinds are down. So now we got the blinds are down on the live work. We've got occasional coming and going for someone to get their bike. And then we've got electrical and a generator
yeah.
and loading.
Yeah.
It's nothing. There's nobody home here.
Nothing there. Yeah.
Yeah. And the other side isn't either. So.
Okay. If you had to have some unit, I mean, it'd be nice to have the. If the perfect is to put all that gray stuff in, kind of in the middle, and flank it with either smaller
here.
Studios or something. Yeah. Right. Well, in the middle, I mean, kind of
somewhere
up and
middle,
down.
Yeah.
Above the core, and then somehow get to the units along the courtyard and the. But if you can't do that, I agree with Ben, is to have the courtyard be at least on that first level, at least somewhat occupied. It won't be obnoxious to people that do face the courtyard if there's more of a closed off face with electrical generator and all that than it is on the street. It's, yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, moving as much as you can. Loading, I think we're okay with, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and having mm-hmm. two spaces would be a killer.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. And you've got parking, so you've got ample room to pull over and reserve a spot or whatnot.
Does the bike storage, as it, and we're talking about moving it, but
yeah.
if it ends up on a street face, I mean, the other thing about that, we've been seeing people do direct access to the street for the bike. Which
mm-hmm.
I think
yes.
is kinder.
I just love that, and especially with students. That,
yeah,
that
it's kinder
be.
To your building. So, I mean, if you do have to put it, you know, somewhere, either having a corridor that leads right to it, if it's buried inside the building, or if it's on the outside, having direct access to
mm-hmm.
the street with a fob or something
mm-hmm.
like that, you know, it's less wear and tear inside, and it's much easier for the person riding the bike.
Yep. So Kurt, what makes a live work unit a live work unit? Because the floor plan.
It's two bedrooms.
Huh?
It's a two bedroom live.
There's a whole different. There's a whole variety of ways we can do it. I mean, but you know, one thing that probably the most generous thing to do is you just do a you have to do an ADA bathroom, mm-hmm. put it in the back, and then you can decide whether you want to build out a small kitchenette or not, and you really just leave the rest of it open.
Right.
I mean, right now, this actually shows it all built out as more like what a two-bedroom unit might be, but that doesn't mean it has to be like that at all. Yeah. I mean, they function best if you build as little into
as
them
possible.
As you can.
Sure.
Yeah.
You might have a little better opportunity to lease it if it's not shown as bedrooms.
Yeah. Agreed.
Turn it on?
Yeah, let's move on. So in terms of there's kind of exterior composition and materials, questions, and...
Kurt, you used, elegant and simple. How do you describe your goal for this building?
Your question is?
My question is, explain elegant and simple.
Is it too busy for you?
Jeez, Kurt. You got chamfers and you got outsticking stuff. You got crisscross tic-tac-toe pattern.
Is that an architectural term?
Yeah, it all is.
Outsticking is an
instrument. Actually, John Carroll uses it.
Okay.
And he says outsticking.
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 Yeah.
This is a very busy building.
Mm.
Not in terms of materials, but in terms of form, yes.
So, is this elegant and simple for you?
It is to me because it's four bay windows. They're well composed elevations. We did some of the notching to create the more vertical line, which we're trying to do. To me, the south elevation reads like almost kind of like two towers facing the park, which I think is really interesting. I think it's kind of cool. We and the materials are there's really just two materials, so it's not like. No.
Yeah, but if you look at the precedent images that you showed, the Ion Plaza and whatever the other one was, one material.
Those were one, yeah. And I guess I thought those were maybe a little too hard.
And one surface.
And one surface.
Just one surface.
Yeah, one surface.
It's just a building. Those were
well,
just buildings.
I'm not sure that would get us a building we'd like.
Yeah,
no, but
I think there's a starting point there. And
yes.
So, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, I mean, one of the things that I think for me, the 12th Avenue side is a little more successful than the Market Street side. And I think one of the reasons why that might be, and this is a minor thing, is that you talked about frames. And I think you actually complete the frames on the 12th Avenue side, whereas on the Market side, you've broken the frames, and I'm not sure why. Except, you did say you wanted it to lift and have more verticality and understand that. But I feel like in terms of coherency, what I also heard you say is like these two sides don't need to be different. But I think they're different enough that they are pulling against each other a little bit in my mind, and I feel like even just closing the frames on the Market side might get us a little closer to something where it is really that quarter block building that doesn't need to do something different on the other side.
You mean the gray panel at the top instead of wrapping it around?
Just
keep
that going.
That is a very nice vertical line, and then it completes itself just like the other side does in a way that
terminates.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and also the bays as they go up and over, those are, I think, extremely awkward relative to, the 12th Avenue elevation, which they stop, and then that stucco frame comes around everything.
I like them better when they don't go all the way over.
I do. I looked at it and I said, well, would it be actually kind of interesting if you've got these very thin canopies on the bottom, if you kind of cap that deck at the top with a canopy, real thin, but so that's a more usable canopy for everybody. It kind of caps that thing, but it lets the stucco wrap around. Could be interesting.
Are you talking about making usable space on the outside of the
just the? Isn't that a deck already or not?
That's what I was wondering.
Or is it just a roof?
We actually don't know yet. It might be a roof. It might be a deck. We don't know.
Oh, I read it as a deck, but maybe it's not.
What's nice about that.
If it is a deck.
Yeah. I mean, if you don't have the Oriel, you don't have the extra space in your unit.
Right.
Right. Then
right.
What you could get in return is that little bit of outdoor space.
Right.
You know,
absolutely.
Which is a nice little bit of. I'm going to use the word punctuation again. It's a little
punctuation
up there.
You sort of that one you did in near the Mallory. Didn't you have some decks or something like that? I thought, or maybe it was the one off of Sandy. That you had some.
Yeah, I can't remember which.
You do so many.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
They all start to run together, you know.
Right.
I don't know, I kind of like the vertical lanterns breaking the top. Right. I mean, it's different.
Yeah.
And it's, I think, but I agree, I think the top in general gets a little busy because it competes with it.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you pulled that, kind of like you mentioned the Bauhaus, if you pulled that whole white datum line
just
down.
Just all the way down.
And then had all where it starts to get... That's all dark up there, and so you close off the frames, and then you allow that kind of like a the stepping back to
just
occur,
like a cap.
The lanterns to go up and over. I mean, I think there could be a solution with these tall lanterns. I think those are pretty cool.
Or maybe the glass all the way up or something different.
Well, that might help. Yeah, but right now they're kind of in between, and they're not very successful.
Yeah, and they're just competing with a little bit.
Yeah.
Other things happening.
Well, I think pulling it down would help with the busyness factor. They become a subset of the whole overall elevation instead of kind of competing with it.
Right. I feel that.
It there are a lot of verticals, Kurt. I gotta say, within that kind of less than 100 feet. You know, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. And most of them are the same. And I guess I wonder about is there enough difference between them to make sense of kind of a, what's a primary and what's a secondary?
Mm-hmm.
And should the ones around the bay projection be the heaviest and then in the center be the lightest? And, you know,
Well, maybe if you simplify it, where really you have the two-story frame expression and the stucco really carry all the way around very simply, and then you just have the Orioles that don't go up all the way up and over. It's more like the 12th Avenue facade might be more successful.
Right.
On all sides as a way to unify the building.
Why don't you pull up the 12th Avenue elevation?
This one kind of shows you both.
Yeah,
gives you both. Mm-hmm.
Well, I wonder too, Kurt, in the middle, you've got two bays. What's interesting about the projecting bays is those windows are deeper. They go down, they're sill height.
Yes, they have more glass.
Right.
Yeah, they go to the sill. The floor.
I wonder if you could kind of modulate the kind of the window pattern so it's not just the same thing across and pull that down at the center bay. And when I look at an elevation, it would, instead of everything's kind of the same through there, I just wonder if that might be a subtle way to, if you put in the, yeah, if you pull, I don't know. It's just something that, with all of them being the same within that field, you can, or there's something about all the verticals too that seem to.
Could you pull the top story back, so it had a cap, with a and some kind of roof terrace for all of those units, so that the expression only went to here or to there, wherever the.
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Oh, so it's a penthouse look, you mean?
More of a penthouse or attic story.
Yeah, but in the, and actually go to that, using the chamfer in some way to make it really be a special feeling to it, that it wasn't just all vertical, but because you can probably get away with this stuff, it's the termination that has the problem. If it terminated on the building, and then step back, and then you had the cap on it. It might add a little more distinctive quality to it, and not be so relentless.
Mm-hmm. I think, Kurt, on some of the other projects that are similar, we talked about not every vertical element has to come all the way down.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And
not
so,
the base, right.
So maybe that you kind of experiment with that a bit and see what that does.
Maybe there's a real maybe that. The base and that cap actually have a relationship. So you've really only got four stories in between that have the hatching, and the ground floor is a little plainer, and the top floor is more about being on top.
There's already a rooftop terrace on the very top with a little hat, you know, in the middle, so.
Yeah, you just can't see it from the street.
You can't see it from the street.
No.
But you would be able to see it from another tall building nearby.
Yeah.
Well, it would be nice if there's that top datum line was right. All exterior porches. And like I say,
that's right.
Pull the white band down.
That's right.
That all recede 6 feet to a series of decks.
No banding on the cap.
Yeah.
It's just a cap.
No banding.
You say no banding on the cap.
You mean like
what do you mean, Ted?
Like make a cornice out of it or something?
Yeah, just terminate.
All dark and
so it's all one material
on the top. Yeah,
okay.
The bands don't continue up. You know, they end. You actually end them. Say this is the top,
you don't
and now there's
right.
the porches, and then here's the penthouses. It's easy for me to say all that stuff.
Just like that.
They would be.
Mm-hmm. No, they would
walk out on that deck. You know,
pretty sweet.
On a little porch area that has a, you know, 3 foot high, 4 foot high masonry kind of edge to it. Very. You know,
3 foot 6 inches.
Yes, sir.
On the courtyard side, it looks like your bedrooms have a little eating area, or your apartments have a little eating. But I just kind of want to push that courtyard to match the other courtyard.
Right.
So it's not, and it just seems a little tight right now. Also.
How do you feel about the stucco and the metal?
I think that'd be pretty.
That's okay. Yeah. I think when it gets really thick, there needs to be a subset of details that kind of breaks it down in some way, so it's not just, I mean, not decorative in a way, but just set of details that talks about that as being a bigger piece rather than the thinner metal pieces.
Sorry, I didn't follow you there.
Well, in the,
kind of right
David.
Here, this is what is that pattern going to be like? Is it just
yeah.
special in a way, but not... Not overly decorative, but just celebrate.
Yeah, we're going to use a very kind of a simple horizontal metal panel with a rib, probably every 6-8 inches, something like that. But so we weren't planning on doing anything decorative out of it.
Yeah.
But just add one more dimension, and
then
we're going to always.
Rib, what are you thinking? Are you thinking of? They lock, but they're not raised.
They lock with a joint.
A joint. Yeah.
With a joint.
Yeah.
And then we would make sure that the windows and the metal panels are all set back from the stucco, so you get a shadow line around every opening, so they're not too flush.
So then the much like that the northwest corner on the block of your other building, we talked about that kind of width of that diagonal, and it being generous enough as you come out of the building to have plenty of room for a couple of people to be out there. And
I see what you're saying. So maybe you want a bigger break there on the corner?
Yeah. If you look at that other, the northwest corner of the project to the north, something of that scale would probably work. I think we went through that whole kind of discussion about that.
Yeah, we enlarged it.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Right. And the canopy, it's so similar I think you could take a lot of those.
The potential of retail even more.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, that's going to be the lobby, I think.
If we do that,
Sets up. But even if it was retail, you'd want a bigger retail lobby.
They'll sell candy bars in the lobby. It'll be retail.
Okay, popcorn. All right.
I thought I heard there was more support to have the entry mid-block to leave this where it is as opposed to entering here, or is that not, or are you saying it could be okay either way?
I'm not okay with it either way. I would like to see the lobby on the corner, but that's just...
You want to see the lobby on the corner.
Because of the permanency of the lobby.
You mean it'll always be active space?
Versus if the live-work becomes more live, then it's going to be curtains.
Yep.
Right?
And I would be in favor of it being a corner commercial space from out of the gates.
Yep.
In a true commercial space, you guys find a good tenant and then move the lobby somewhere else. But I think a lot of it will change when you start moving the units over there, Kurt, and seeing how that all...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, Ben, you're saying the lobby could stay here if this was true commercial right from the get-go.
Yeah, and I think you guys could do that, too. I think you'd fill it up and...
Move fitness to the back, move leasing to the back.
Get a good commercial space.
Generator, electrical to the back.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, if you could get a commercial space that included that area of the fire command and bike storage, you know, something significant enough to really be viable, yeah. I would, and it's definitely commercial space.
Yeah.
Forever and ever?
Forever and ever.
Then I'm for that. But I'm doubtful. I have my doubts about that being.
There, well, you guys know it's all, you put the lease rate wherever it tracks the commercial space.
Sure.
So it's like you'll get a commercial space.
Okay.
And then,
no, I'm not doubting, yeah, right.
As okay. It fills in, it'll become a better and better commercial space.
You know, I think the issue for these guys is always it's anyone can build a commercial space and get a first tenant. It's just how long does the tenant last, right? So, I mean, I think
right.
that a tenant could
it's
last year.
It's
the right tenant. It's
yeah.
the unknown that's so scary. Yeah. You know, you can throw a student in there anytime.
So David is saying, you know, at least the corner space would be, theoretically active if it's a lobby.
Right.
We know that
right.
for
Ever.
Perpetuity.
Right.
Or until the earthquake comes.
Right.
This will probably be one of the few buildings.
I mean, if you could, if you said this is lobby and the lobby can actually enter over and this was all retail here.
Yeah, that's true.
That
kind of solves both things, doesn't it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And then two residential down the other side.
Yep. Sure. Yeah.
I agree.
Does it matter what side the retail's on to you or not to me?
Well, I think Kurt was saying the 12th would be better than Market because of the speed on Market. Right. Either that's up to them.
Yep.
But I also like the South Light and the Park View, and you know, there's a lot of students walking up and down Market Street. I mean, I was out there again today, and it was
busy.
It was busy with
yeah.
pedestrians.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so.
More than 12th, I would say.
Yeah, and I mean, in terms of just having a blade sign out there and having eyeballs on it, I think
mm-hmm.
Market is
yeah.
sort of a better street.
So it, with these three new projects, Kurt, how many units are in there?
See, this is, what, roughly 100, 170, 100, probably close to 200.
200?
Actually, over 200.
I would think
220.
Yeah, yeah. Okay.
210, 220, something like that. The projects over on the other side of the block are affordable apartments, and I think they're it's a busy block too, because that whole block is
mm-hmm.
built out
mm-hmm.
with affordable apartments.
Yep.
Okay.
Did we address everything?
Well,
you
think there was
one more
thing that came up, and that was the fiber cement on the
oh
in the, notch,
the back
right?
side.
Yeah,
in the back.
Oh.
Can you show that elevation?
Yeah. And Kurt, the stucco then is at the corner intersection of that on each blank.
I don't
end.
Know how we're going to do that.
Yeah. That's what I'm wondering.
But it's yeah.
And what's the gray material? I know it's hidden by the other building, but is it CMU or
this? So what we do is we work out an agreement with the adjacent neighbor. So we actually flash over that wall because you actually can't
right.
get to
can't
that.
Do anything,
you're,
right.
I mean, you can't even get a body in there to.
Right.
So really, what this all becomes is like a seismic joint. It's a cavity.
Are you structurally is that a Borden Place wall or a CMU wall or?
It'll probably be. A wall that will be tilted up, because this is all steel construction, so it'll be tilted up, metal studs will be tilted up, it'll have sheathing on it and a waterproof barrier that all gets hidden behind all the flashing. So it'll be waterproof, but it'll be just
sure.
open to the
okay.
wall adjacent to it as it all gets covered up. It's one of those weird things, if you walk around town, you can actually find lots of those spots.
Sure.
It's just not something we actually look for very often.
No.
But you have to work out the legal agreement with your adjacent neighbor in order to make it all work.
How do you get the? It's not that. How do you get the joints as you're doing partial walls? To never mind.
Waterproof.
Yeah, it's
well,
not really.
You end up having, even though this isn't exactly. You don't see sky through this. This is
right.
that would all get like a seismic
like a
joint cover
right.
and a cover at
sure.
the top, so the water is kept out on. The verticals and the horizontal.
Okay. And so the question we have is fiber cement panels on that backside.
It seems like such a small part of the project. Can you guys just do stucco and just do a building that's, I mean, it doesn't seem like that much to the overall, especially doing stucco around the sides. And
yeah, no, we can definitely look at that.
Right, I mean, I'm the pause that I had is that it's the tallest building.
So yeah, that's
it's gonna be visible.
Right, it will be visible, yeah.
So.
Yeah, I agree, if you could just go ahead and just make it all one thing.
One last trade. Okay.
Is that it?
Sounds good.
Chris, did we get everything?
Yeah, one thing. You didn't really bring anything about the section, how the PHTP panels are going to work. Are they? I mean, I.
Right now, I mean, we're so early in the process, but essentially we're designing the elevations to set up so they could have a PTHP, but we're not entirely sure if that's going to be in the project or not. I mean, we're so early in the design, we don't know if these are going to be air-conditioned units or not, but if we did, they would always be in, the grill would always be in the metal panel below the window, so they would never be in stucco, they would always be in a metal panel, so we get them in the same color and finish as the metal panel as a way to try to hide them, and that's something that we would, you know, we'll have to have all that figured out by the time we. At this case, I was more interested in finding out, is this material palette okay? What can we do with the proportions? Are they okay with the proportions? And what proportional adjustments do they want us to make? The details are still to come.
And I'll just tag on just to help the commission. We very recently required a project in Northwest, the rapids, end walls, and courtyard facing walls with a stucco system. So I don't think there's any debate about fiber cement.
Is that the one in the slab in Slabtown or the FFA? I can't remember the name of the
Tess. The Tess?
Tess. Tess.
The contested?
Tess O'Brien.
Tess O'Brien, that's it.
Okay. Okay. Did we hit all cylinders there? Everything's
all
checked
right.
off? Got it? Okay.
Thank you guys.
All right,
appreciate
thanks,
it very much, as always. Oh, I actually had one more question. So did you want us to actually avoid doing some of these recesses? I mean, we could also make this a more flat facade with, you know, two-story openings and not have that additional. Yeah, it was probably 2 or 3 feet in the design. Because I was thinking it also gives a little bit more relief at the pedestrian level. So I just want to make sure you're okay with that. If it's a meaningful reset, I mean, it's not. Oh God, no, yeah. Okay, got it. Yeah, it'll all be set back at least a foot to get greater dimension. I mean, we're kind of treating this as a two-story base and actually hoping all these could be set back at that first two level one and two with a greater recess.
There's something about the fact to me, though, with the two bays and the corner, the bays on the side and that corner being so similar.
Yeah.
There's something I'm. Did you guys have a reaction? Yeah. Did you go to the rendering curve, like at that corner?
Where is that thing? Just on the corner?
Well, yeah, just kind of the three together or just. Okay. They're so close. I don't. These have a nice distance, but these are so close.
Yep.
But I don't know what.
Close in terms of detailing or close in terms of dimension?
It gets
yeah.
Oh, okay, adjacency. Right. So
that's
maybe.
What I was saying, if you bring the white down, then they work better
and
together.
Then it'll work better.
It would.
Yeah. Okay, I get it. Yeah, maybe the two-story opening with a stucco even turns the corner so that you really just have four orioles that are very simple. It might be a way to look at that. Okay.
I appreciate this texture, but are you concerned that it's with the traffic on Market, it's just going to become filthy immediately with all the cavities and stuff?
You know, I've talked to some of the stucco guys who do this around town, and they said with the amount of, it's not so much street dependent, there's a certain amount of pollution you're going to have in downtown, but the beauty of this is it's even though it's rough, it actually absorbs a lot of the pollutants less than, say, even a brick, like a Mission texture brick that isn't a smooth brick.
It really
just sucks it in. This one actually tends to not suck it in as much, so you can
hose it off, and it tends to be able to stay a little cleaner. I'm not exactly sure why, but somehow those. I've actually been starting to shy away from some of the Mission texture light bricks lately,
right,
because they just get so freaking dirty. You can't clean them. Yeah, once that dirt gets in, you know, it's like the Metro building downtown. You know, it's all in there, and I don't know how you ever clean it. Anyway, thanks everybody. You guys have a good evening.
Thanks, everyone.
Yeah.
See you guys.
See ya.
Yeah, yeah, I got it back. David, did Dave Keltner have any comments that he left with anybody? Okay, just checking.
Is that Jansen's building coming back?
No, it's right now. It seems kind of dead.
What about the Mallory building?
That one will get built. Yeah. Jansen, I think, is that's a tough part of town to make work. They're having a hard
time. Good design.
They're having a hard time with that one. We'll see.
Their coin.
Yeah. Oh yeah. Oh, who was there?
Yeah, so that's how we track, okay. Commissioner. I'm sorry, you don't have to worry about that.
Yeah,
so let me go to work. Do you bike or do you need a stamp?
I'm on the bus, so I'm good.
You want to stamp something else? You got stamped yourself? Stamped.
I got stamped.
This one, for some reason,
not satisfying.
What this hearing today?
This all really uns.